Yep.
Meow.
Uh-huh.
Michael, they're bigger kittens.
They are. Every day, these kittens are a little bit bigger.
This is the Freedom Beans, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. Hey, are those new kittens covered by BIPCOT too?
Yeah. Yep.
So anyone can use them except the government?
No. No, but anyone can use their DNA if I give them some.
Have you registered your kittens?
Actually, I did, but remember they tried to refuse the registration, and one of them, when injected with the little microchip, it popped out of his body, and they had to put a second one in.
And did he at least try to bite the person chipping him?
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, you know, I'm trying a new mic here. I'm not using a mixer or anything. I'm just using USB mic into Fiendphone. It's a third mic that I may end up recommending, depending on how it sounds. It's the Audio-Technica ATR2100. I got this today. It was $58, and I like it. I think I like it. We'll see how it sounds. But
nice.
Yeah.
What's special about it?
I just turn off my fan, though.
It's cheap.
It's different. It's cheaper. Yeah. It's cheaper, and it's more available than the Audio-Technica 2005 USB. But, you know, interestingly, in Fiendphone, it shows up from the drop-down menu as the 2005 USB, which it is not. It shows up as that in anything, in Audacity, in whatever. So it's drunk. It doesn't know its identity. So it's cheaper than the 2005 USB, but thinks it's that mic. So there.
All right.
Okay. Are there any like special features or anything like that that the 2005 doesn't have, other than being able to mask itself?
Does it have a blue light?
It has a blue light. I think it's almost exactly the same mic. That's my guess.
Well, it sounds like it works then.
Yeah. Yep. So I'm just gonna lay back and let you guys do a show and jump in when I need to, and then go away, and then you'll send me notes, and I'll make a show. Worms.
Thank you,
Worms, Michael. So how have things been going, Jim? I haven't talked to you in like at least a month, something like that.
Oh, man, things are going great. Great to be with you, Lou. Always a pleasure. Yeah, it has been. It's been too long. Too long.
Yeah, definitely.
I think was our last show the Federal Fiends episode, or did we do one after
day.
That?
No, opposite day. Yeah, that was the last one.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Oh, yeah, that was a blast. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was talking to Diana and Christian at Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, and we're supposed to start doing our own little Bavarian Gulch little Skype thing, talking to each other about once a month or so, and we haven't gotten around to it yet. So anyway, where has free market, unregulated capitalism touched you lately? Can you show us on the doll?
Pope on a rope?
Oh, I'm sure there's many people would love to see the Pope on a rope right now, but
there's this and people we're quoting Black Sabbath. We're not making threats, just so people know. And you know, there's this news item that's been on all the conservative shows recently about how there's some Marine that was murdered in Afghanistan because he was trying to stop, like, the Afghani police. He was supposed to be training as soldiers. Like, supposedly they were, like, raping 10-year-old boys. And these U.S. Marines that were over there, like, tried to stop them. And then were told, like, oh, we don't interfere with that. That's just what's going on here. And I'm thinking, like, what's the timing with this? Like, is this just to take the pressure off the Pope and all the Catholic little boy rape, you think?
Could be, but that Afghan boy raping thing, that's been out there for years. Like, that's been it's not exactly a new topic, and maybe there's a new development, but
it is. There's a new development.
Yeah. The new development, from what I have heard, is a Marine officer or some sort of military officer. I don't know what branch he was. I guess he was forced to resign his commission because he interfered in the internal affairs, no pun intended, of some Afghan statocrat.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, maybe that is a cover story, so we don't talk about the papal pedophilia scandals. So. Who knows?
Well, I wonder if the Pope's going to try and take some little boys back as souvenirs back to the Vatican. Yeah, most people get spoons, shot glasses, things like that. Check his luggage.
Well, he probably doesn't drink except the wine. Check his luggage. Hey, happy first day of autumn. First day of autumn, you guys.
Yeah, I couldn't tell the difference between yesterday and today.
Nice.
I think I'm gonna start yelling at Derek J, even though he's not on the show. Like I'm tech supporting, helping him with something, and he did it again. Like he walked away in the middle of the conversation and just disappeared. Like I'm just sitting here going, Hello, Derek J.
Well, maybe he has something fabulous to do. Have you ever thought of that?
Yeah. glitter bomb the Pope. That's not a threat.
You know, people are going crazy out here in Philly over the Pope. I mean, they are freaking out in a huge way.
Where was he today, D.C. or Philly?
I think it's this weekend he's in Philly, so he might have just, like, left D.C. or I don't know. But they have, like, the entire downtown is, like, this, like, security zone, okay? And I actually found out from a friend working in Center City, he says that the National Guard is patrolling the streets, okay? And they're doing it. He says that I can't verify this, so maybe we'll have to Google it. But Operation Iron Response is what they're doing. Just in case, and they're calling it just in case the Pope visit, quote unquote, goes wrong. Okay? They're ready. They're ready in case it goes wrong with the National Guard. I have a list of the prohibited items. Would you like to hear this?
I heard an interview with the Secret Service, and they said that the biggest threat to the Pope being in America is privately run hobby drones. Like, that's what they're most worried about. You know, like, they can deal with the crazy guy who runs up to the Pope mobile with a knife, which a Pope got stabbed. Do you guys remember that, like, in our lifetime?
I remember John Paul II got shot.
Yeah, I don't remember one getting stabbed, but...
So, yeah, one got stabbed. Like, they say they figured out how to deal with all that, but they can't deal with, like, the airspace being breached, you know, even by, like, someone just trying to take pictures or something. They don't really know how to deal with that. Like, but it sounded like they're planning to blow them out of the sky if they see them.
Well, I actually predicted, like, several years ago that this, like hobby drones and remote-controlled aircraft in general will eventually just be illegal because it is too – they're getting too good. They're too easy to control. They can carry all kinds of interesting payloads.
Yeah, there's also video. There's video of one on YouTube firing a Glock. Have you seen that?
Well, yep. It's just, you know, I've seen them carry, like, payloads of, like a two-liter bottle of liquid, like a lot of weight. Yeah. Right? I mean,
that's way too much for TSA.
But so anyway, so Philly is now a security zone where they've banned, like, they've cleared all the parked cars. They've banned public transportation. They've cleared all the parking lots. If you want to, like, come down and see the Pope, you're not going to get within 4 miles, like, in a bus. Okay. Here's some prohibited items. Okay. Aerosols, ammunition, animals, backpacks and bags exceeding 18 by 13 by 7, balloons, bicycles, hard coolers, drones, and other unmanned aircraft. Explosives are banned. What? Firearms, glass, thermal or metal containers, laser pointers, mace/pepper spray, packages, selfie sticks. Forget about it. Signs exceeding 5 by 3 structures.
What's a selfie stick?
Evidently, they've cleared the downtown of structures. A selfie stick is what people, like, attach their phone to take a picture of themselves.
I thought you said, like, Hubert Selfie Jr.
Supports for signs, toy guns, weapons of any kind, and here it is, any other items determined to be a potential safety hazard. Now, it says here, chairs are allowed, but the Secret Service has some things they want you to know. The smaller and more compact the chair, the easier and quicker it is to verify that it is safe. So you could bring a chair, but it has to be verified safe by Secret Service. Individuals may not arrive at security checkpoints with numerous or cumbersome chairs because screening these items will be unreasonably slow. Chairs, no metal poles in your chairs. If we cannot verify the safety of a chair, it will not be permitted through the screening process. So,
how about homemade clocks?
Homemade clocks, if contained in a briefcase, I believe they will be allowed in.
Okay, how about Pop-Tarts nibbled in the shape of a handgun or vaguely?
Come on, we gotta have certain limits to this. But hey, that's the Pope, and you know, don't worry, you know, because Operation Iron Response is ready to spring into action in case it goes wrong.
It's really interesting that they see privately owned drones as the greatest threat to the Pope when I see government owned drones as the greatest threat to private citizens.
Well, why do you think? Yeah, they know drones are good.
Yeah, but it's nice to see that they have the same opinion of how to deal with drones that most of us do.
Well, you know what? You never know what Philly's going to do. Like Philly, you know. Remember, Philly's the only city in America that's ever bombed itself, okay? Like, there's no limit.
Explain that for people who don't know what you're talking about.
Well, in the, there was, when was that, the 80s, late, or early 80s, the move, they call it a compound, but basically some house of some people that, they had naked kids in their front yard and chickens and stuff, and they didn't, like, they weren't conformist.
A little bit of the country in the city.
Yeah, you know, just some unruly folks weren't really playing by all the rules, and they got bombed. Like, the mayor said, you were going to have to drop a bomb. They burned down a whole city block.
Well, if you can't be a good neighbor, you know, hey, you got to go. More Freedom Fiends coming up right after this.
Worms.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Freedom Fiends. We're back.
Trigger warning.
Yeah, we do need trigger warnings.
Well, we don't have our Canadian friend with us today, so we have to, like, you know, have some remnant of her presence because she's usually here on Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
So, do you got anything else on the Pope?
Well, you know, I did hear one interesting thing about his accommodations, okay? And I think first we should remind people that, you know, that this Pope is, I guess he's a little bit different than other popes because he's really lecturing people about the evils of capitalism, right? And he's like going all around, like telling everybody, like, oh, you need to, you know, like Jesus was a socialist. And this guy's like really going overboard with this kind of stuff, it seems like. So, but then, you know, then I read, like, well, here's his accommodations, okay? When he stays somewhere, okay, they don't just like put him up at a hotel or even like just like put him up at a, you know, in a, you know, somebody's nice house or something.
Motel 6.
he gets a special bed made for him, okay? And it's embroidered, and it's got his crests, and it's a special mattress, and it's all fancy. He sleeps in it, and it will never be slept in again, okay?
You mean it won't be, like, donated to the poor or anything like that?
No, I think it's considered like a minor relic at that point, and people, like, say prayers to it, or, like, I don't know what they do. But just the level of decadence. I mean, you know, have you ever been to the Vatican?
No, I haven't.
It is one of the most ostentatious, like, gaudy places in the world, like with the gold leaf and the sculptures and all the loot that's been harvested from, you know, for centuries is all stacked up around there. And it's like a treasure trove of plunder. And it just cracks me up when this guy wants to lecture us about, you know, income. Oh, inequality. Inequality is the big evil in the world, he says. Inequality. Okay, like from his gold leaf throne, he's telling us about inequality. Cracks me up. You know, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, it sounds like Chris Christie telling people to go on a diet.
I think he did that. Did no, no. I saw a headline where he did tell somebody to lose weight. Is he his own punchline there, or is that actually?
I never heard of that. Is that real or is that The Onion?
You never know when it comes to New Jersey. So who knows? I don't know.
Oh, God. So in other words, he's telling everybody to, like, give up the extravagance and become paupers and everything else, but yeah. He's not willing to do it himself.
No, and he's not even willing to sleep in the same bed twice, okay?
Sounds like a terrorist on the run.
Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, evidently, though, he does provide a lot of something. I mean, like, millions of people are showing up to see him. So I don't, you know, hey, if people, you know, enjoy it or are having a good time, more power to them. So he must bring something to the table that makes people flock to his side.
Yeah, well, it must be the great economic advice that he gives.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not Catholic anymore. I mean, I was raised Catholic. I don't think I was ever really Catholic by choice. I was just kind of like raised and indoctrinated into it. And then when I got out in the world and I started looking at different things, you know, went over, I messed around with some other stuff, and then eventually I gave up being Catholic for Lent 1 year, and I just stuck with it.
Yeah, and, well, I'm glad you're sticking to your commitment there.
Yeah. As far as posts go, I kind of liked John Paul II because, you know, he wasn't really too jerky and preachy that I know of. I mean, of course, he was, you know, pushing that Catholicism thing, which you got to understand that because that's part of the job. But, you know, he really wasn't one of these, how could I put it? He wasn't always pontificating on all these different social things like this current one is. And with all the socialism that this guy preaches, if I was still Catholic, I'd probably stop being Catholic. Or at least I would leave the church until we got the right guy in office.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah,
and
the guy college, in office.
Yeah, the College of Cardinals has to vote harder and get the right people in charge.
But they don't really. I mean, I'm confused. So maybe you can clarify this for me. Like, some people say they vote. Other people, they just say they get in a room and then smoke comes out of a chimney and then God tells them who the Pope is.
Yeah, I don't know. I just see steam coming out of a sewer drain in Detroit, and that means that the Ninja Turtles elected a new pope.
Worms.
More Freedom Fiends right after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state.
For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Freedom Fiends. We're back.
Yeah. Little public service announcement. Trigger discipline is keeping your finger off the trigger until ready to fire. Trigger etiquette is extending your pinky while firing. And a trigger warning is what we have for the Freedom Fiends.
All three are important.
Yes, yes. Each has its own place in the world. So anyway, yeah, one more story on the Pope, and this gives me some hope. And the headline is, Pope Francis reverses position on capitalism after seeing wide variety of American Oreos. So it appears that the Holy Father went to a grocery store and he saw the wide variety of Oreos and he completely reversed his critical stance toward capitalism, seeing all the things that the market has to offer. He says, oh my goodness, look at all these golden Oreos, cookie dough Oreos, mega stuff Oreos, birthday cake Oreos. Perhaps a system of free enterprise is not as terrible as I once feared.
Finally, you know, that really is what it's all about. I mean, the onion's funny and everything, but it really just kind of nails it. It's like, you know, people like choices. People love variety. You know, variety is the spice of life, right? Imagine how boring it would be if like Bernie Sanders was telling us how many kinds of Oreos there should be. All right, it'd be awful.
Yeah, variety is the incense of life. But he says, yeah, only a truly exceptional and powerful economic system would be capable of producing so many limited edition and holiday-themed flavors of a single cookie brand, such as the extraordinary key lime pie Oreos and candy corn Oreos. So, yeah. All right, good on the Pope for reversing his foolish course in this satire article from The Onion. Yeah. The thing about satire and like what makes The Onion so good is... I don't know if it's that the world is so darn absurd that it's hard to tell a difference between the satire and the absurdity of the real world.
Poe's law. That's what that is.
What is Poe's law?
Let me see if I can get the exact definition. But basically, it's just saying. Without a clear indicator to the author's intent, parodies of extremism are indistinguishable from sincere expressions of the parodied view. So, and we do live in a world where it makes the writer's job at The Onion harder every day because they have to keep one step ahead of the absurdity. It's very difficult. Yeah.
Why, when you look at particularly a lot of the social justice warrior nonsense that's out there, I mean, it's really hard to tell what's satire and what's real.
It's true. And there's other satire sites out there, and I can't think of any of the URLs, but they're so close to the truth, and like they'll just like take material and say like like stuff Michelle Bachmann says, you know, and yeah. Like you don't know if there's no way to know if it's true or satire. There's just no way to know, or stuff that Trump says, or you know, it's so that's the challenge of being a comedy writer these days, I guess.
Yeah. Now, moving on to the next story, and this is something that it just popped up. I saw it for the first time yesterday. I don't know how long the story's been out there, but at first I thought it was satire or some nonsense that comes from the Occupy Democrats Facebook page. It appears that the completely unregulated free market capitalist system has been touching the doll improperly, and the story is about some hedge fund manager that bought the rights to a particular medication, and it went from $13.50 a tablet up to $750 overnight. And what in the happy Halloween is up with that?
Well, you know, I guess we're talking about when you think of the drug market, right? in the United States. I mean, what can you think of except for unbridled capitalism, right? This is just free market economics running amok, people doing whatever they want in the marketplace, completely unregulated, completely untaxed, you know, no cartels, no trade barriers, no intellectual property restrictions, right? This is unbridled capitalism, just free markets run amok, and look what it did, and now people are going to die, right?
Well, remember what Mitt Romney said in the 2012 election cycle. You can't have a free market without regulation. You can't have a free market without government restricting and limiting the actions of people.
That was it was at the same debate where Giuliani said freedom is about obeying authority. I think that was.
No. That was a different Orwellian debate. But this was with Obama.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know those little debates where they would go up on stage, agree with each other, and hold hands and make out.
Jack Johnson and John Jack versus John Jackson.
Yeah, yeah.
I think your 3% titanium tax goes too far. Well, I think your 3% titanium tax doesn't go too far enough.
Yeah, and for the record, it is obligatory that we say this every episode on The Fiends at least once an hour. Romney and Obama are liars, socialists, and their feet stink. But yes. Anyway, let's get back to this whole story about the drug. What exactly have you found out from your researching crack on this?
Well, I was confused about it because they said he had bought the rights to this, but then I read, well, but it's like a 60-year-old drug. So I'm like, how do you buy the rights to a 60-year-old drug? And I learned about this orphan drug patent. Evidently, the government will sell you another monopoly even after some monopoly is already expired. Hi, have a monopoly again. Go ahead. Is that what it is?
There's a lot of conflicting stories in there, but one thing that I want to cover before we move on, you mentioned the orphan drug patent. One of the things about patents is it is a license of exclusivity. It is a government-granted monopoly. As Ludwig von Mises once said, governments and politicians constantly complain about the price of new products, yet they continue to issue exclusive patents. And what the patent does is it restricts any type of competition from the market because, you know, you can't have a free market without competition. Or with competition.
With competition, rather. That would be crazy. That's crazy talk.
Yeah. So because monopolies have a tendency to create higher prices and lower quality products because there's no competition to force them to lower prices, improve quality, and all these other things, you get these things that people complain about, and then people demand that a government monopoly, crush the other private monopoly. But if you really want to know where the root of this comes from, if you go to Article 1, Section 8 of the Magic Parchment, and by the way, a couple days ago was Magic Parchment Day here in America, the Congress shall have the power to promote the progress of science and useful arts by securing for limited times to authors and inventors the exclusive right to their respective writings and discoveries. So in other words, it's in the Constitution that government can grant monopolies. Thanks, Fondling Fathers.
Right. When people are dying because they can't get their medicine, I hope they sit back and reflect on their deathbed about the Founding Fathers and what they did to them. But, let's face it, the drug cartel, it is a cartel, right? I mean, yeah. They have completely captured the regulators. So anybody that's regulating, everyone in the FDA, as far as I know, used to work for a drug company, and that revolving door of drug company / drug company regulator, it's just a continuum of people. And they sit back and they dream up ways to limit their competition and to keep prices artificially high. So it's just the nature of what they do.
And that's why we need more regulation.
Well, and that's the sad thing. It's like, even while this scandal is happening and people are all grumpy about it, they're demanding like, we need some more government to look into this and fix this problem. Like, really?
Yeah. Yeah, this problem is a creation of government, and the solution is not going to be more of what caused the problem. Now, it seems like it's just like a knee-jerk reaction. It's like people have a string in their back. Somebody pulls it, and whenever something happens, they just drop this monkey chant of, oh, we need more regulation. Now, they don't say what type of regulation because they have no idea. They have no idea what type of regulation is already in place. They just say, well, we need more regulation. And for some reason, each time new regulations are added, nothing winds up coming out of it. But one of the things that I would like to express to people, and if you're one of these people that believe that government should regulate commerce, and, more magic parchment stuff, interfering with commerce clause, what are your choices for regulators? You basically have two separate choices, and you could even mix them up and combine them. One, you have the industry experts who, I guess you could say that they have a conflict of interest, but you have these industry experts that have worked in the industry for quite a long time, they're experienced, and they know how the industry works, they know how the actual products work, and you can have them go regulate, or you can go with politicians, bureaucrats, academics that have absolutely no experience in the industry, they don't know how the industry works, they don't know how the products work, and you can go, have them go in there and set these rules, but they don't know anything other than like reading a pamphlet or two or maybe a couple books. So your choice is corrupt or stupid.
Really the kind of the government in a nutshell, right?
Yeah. 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 And people,
various
people,
combinations of corruption and stupidity.
Yeah. Well, and people always say, well, we don't need lawyers in government. We need farmers and auto mechanics and all this other stuff. Okay. What do farmers and auto mechanics know about making medications? What do they know about banking? What do they know about monetary policy?
How are they going to even know which dictators to impose upon third world countries around the world?
Exactly.
How do you make that call? Right. Yeah. So if you don't work for the banking, petro, military industrial complex, you're just not qualified to install dictators abroad.
Right. Now, by the same token, do you want former CEO or former lobbyist for, maybe the cable industry being in charge of the FCC? Do you think he might have a vested interest in doing our stuff? Do you think there might be a conflict of interest there?
The left denies that regulatory capture is a thing. But if you're listening at home and you're saying, but we need a regulator to regulate the regulators, just Google regulatory capture.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Stereo
in unison. We are a unified voice for freedom. There we go.
Yes.
So we're talking about the FDA, right? So as one of these regulatory agencies that is just a kind of a sad joke, ruining lives, killing people, making drugs expensive. Did you hear earlier this year they're trying to ban, the FDA wants to expand their authority over all tobacco related products. So, and create sort of a ban on cheap cigars is one of the things they targeted. Did you hear about that?
No, I have not.
Well,
I wonder how Bill and Monica feel about that.
Well, I don't think it's going to affect them because they propose a sort of a waiver for fancy cigars. Okay, and I'm assuming that the Clintons can afford all the best products.
You know, when Bill was asked about the difference between Monica and Hillary, he says Hillary's close, but no cigar.
Ooh. You know,
too soon.
Well, you know, funny you mention that because I have another article here from 2013 from Vice that said maybe the FDA should regulate sex toys. And it's sort of making an argument that's like, hey, you know, nobody's regulating this stuff. What could, you know, who knows what's going on? Who knows what that, what the ingredients are in that sex toy that you're possibly doing things with that need to be, have some politicians, you know, checking up on. I don't know. But so, yeah. So one way or another, they're going to be regulating the Clintons. Anyway, the cigar thing is kind of interesting. Now, do you know Jim Bovard?
No, I don't. I haven't met him.
He's a great author. I'm sure you've heard of him.
Oh, yeah.
Bush Betrayal, Attention Deficit Democracy. I could name like 20 other books. And when I heard we were going to talk about the FDA, I sent him a message because he's been condemned by like virtually every federal agency for writing about them and exposing their shenanigans. And so one of the things that he showed me, he had written several articles about this this cheap cigar ban because Jim likes cigars. And anyway, the FDA released a 70,000-word barrage of proposed restrictions on the sale and marketing of electronic cigarettes, pipe tobacco, and other tobacco products. He says the worst damage could be suffered by cigars, one of the least favorite items of the contemporary regulatory universe. Okay, so... anyway, but they do suggest that it might be exempt from regulation premium cigars that cost at least $10 a piece. So thank goodness the elites aren't going to be inconvenienced by this. Hey, why not, right? It's for the children or what is, I don't know.
But without the FDA, who would force drug companies put warning labels on medications that were previously deemed safe by the FDA? Yeah, I want to touch on one more thing with the nonsense of things must be regulated and government is the only one that can keep people from, you know, I don't know, killing each other, bombing our countries, dropping depleted uranium on people. This is called Selene's Laws, and it comes from Robert Anton Wilson and Robert Shea's Illuminatus trilogy, and the main character Selene, he comes up with three different laws, and now this doesn't apply to the FDA, but it talks about in the first law, national security is the chief cause of national insecurity. Reflecting the paranoia of the Cold War, Selene's first law focuses around the common idea that to have national security, one must create a secret police. Since internal revolutionaries and external foes would make the secret police a prime target for infiltration, they have to have more secret police. And essentially, you have to have watchers watching the watchers. And then once the watchers get captured, you have to have watchers watching the watchers that are watching the watchers. And essentially, you get to a point to where you run out of money to fund the national security state. Everybody's spying on each other, and you don't have the security that you're looking for.
It's watchers all the way down.
Yeah, and the same goes with FDA regulation. So you'll never be able to stomp out all the corruption and everything else. As a matter of fact, the whole regulatory environment creates the corruption.
Worms.
And we'll be back with the second hour of Freedom Fiends right after this trip to the market.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com. Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Trigger warning. This is Freedom Fiends, Hour 2, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low-orbit ion cannon high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no-government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So the FDA cannot use this show as part of its promo material. I think that's what that means. Like, they're probably going to want to put links to the show and this episode, but they can't. Sorry. BIPCOT, no government license protects that. So,
and Romney and Obama are liars, socialists, and their feet stink.
And I hate to say it, but I think the Pope is too. So I actually, his feet probably smell like incense and roses and stuff, but he's definitely a socialist.
Yeah. So anyway, going back to the first hour, for those of you that are just tuning in, we've been talking about this scandal of the hedge fund manager that bought the rights to, looks like Daraprim is what it's called, and it's used to treat AIDS and cancer.
Well, it treats toxoplasmosis, not to be confused with something that we're infected with, talk show plasmosis. it's toxoplasmosis, the cat parasite. So it's at least that's one place. Many people are infected with this parasite with no symptoms of any kind. But if your immune system is suppressed or weakened, typically like for something like AIDS, you're going to be particularly vulnerable. So this drug is very important to AIDS patients and anyone else with compromised immune systems, is my understanding.
Okay. Now, I just heard this story for the first time yesterday, and like I said before, I thought it was a meme off of Occupy Democrats Facebook page, and I saw a little video clip, and I hate to get all conspiratorial, but this guy reminds me of somebody out of central casting for somebody to go out there and be like a negative sign of free market capitalism in this corporatist system that exists today.
And he
looks kind of weaselly. He sounded kind of weaselly on the little video clips I saw. And I'm thinking to myself, my God, did somebody put him up to this nonsense? But the story is that the drug has gone from $13.50 a pill, or is it a pill, up to $750.
Yeah. Okay. It's a 5,000% increase. That's correct.
Okay. So how does this happen? And we kind of belabored the point in the first hour about the regulatory capture of the FDA. We talked about how the exclusive grant of monopoly from government through patents and licensing.
And trade restrictions. Everything else, you know, from the pharmacists licensing at the state level to the regulations on drug manufacturers to the, I mean, it's endless layers to how this market is controlled, not even close to a free market. I mean, look at everybody that's even buying drugs. It's coming through some kind of like heavily regulated insurance company, if it's not directly Obamacare or something like that. So, or Medicare or Medicaid or, you know, it's hard to find a shred of free market of the free market in the drug industry. Like, you really have to look to find that.
Well, as I said before, according to Romney, you can't have a free market without regulations, restrictions, and limitations on the market.
He's just pandering to his corporate donors.
Yeah. But what I really want to do is I want to get down to some caveman simple basic economics so that the people that are fans of Occupy Democrats can understand this. Okay, so a medication goes from $13.50 per pill up to $750 per pill or per month. I don't know how the dosage on this is. If the price is $750 a month, who's going to buy that?
People that are dying. People that need it to live, right?
Okay, how are they going to pay for it?
Well, I guess, through the government.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but seriously, can the average person afford $750 a month for medication?
I don't know, but it's much more than that. In fact, I think we're talking like $69,000 a year for this medication, something like that.
Okay, and considering that a lot of people don't make that kind of money, they're not going to be able to pay for it. So
right.
There's this economically illiterate idea that, yes, the greedy capitalists would like to pay people one penny per day and then charge $1 trillion for a gallon of gas or a bottle of soda or something like that. Oh, okay. So if people don't have any money to pay for this stuff, then who are they going to sell it to? So the whole thing about pricing is in order to get your product out there and actually gain revenue, the pricing has to be something that people can afford. Now, when you look at Obamacare, or if you just look at insurance in general, because you have a third party payer and the actual customer is not the one picking the tab up for that, that is what causes the price of medications and medical care to skyrocket. Back in the old days, the health insurance would cover catastrophic coverage. It was for injuries and illnesses because insurance is not something to pay your bills. It's a transfer of risk. So each person has a certain amount of risk that they're going to have an injury or illness, and it's going to be very expensive and it's going to require medical care. Some people are going to be more prone to injury or illness than others. But when you have something that pays for regular maintenance, you know, like going for the annual physical, getting, you know, doctor's office calls and all this other stuff, that increases the actual cost of insurance because you're paying for more. You're not insuring against the unforeseen thing. You're insuring against the things that are guaranteed to happen, like going for the office call and the annual physical and all these other things. Now, there is a counter argument to that with like the annual physical that is prevention. So, you know, maybe that is something that will help people out. But when you have health insurance covering every single darn thing, it's going to get more expensive. And when you have the third party payer, it's a lot easier for these pharmaceutical companies to charge more for all these medications.
That's a fact. Same thing is true. You notice it with the market for higher education, right? The market gets flooded with all of this federal money. Oh, we need to give everybody a free college education. Oh, it's got to be, you know, like pushing everybody into college they don't want. What are the universities going to do, right?
They bring
jack the rates. They just jack them. Hey, all the, you know, because, you know, that's. I just wish that people that love government just could master the idea of supply and demand, okay? If you're artificially creating demand, then you're going to drive prices up. So,
yeah.
You know, you can't monkey with this stuff without consequences. Yeah. And this is a consequence, a potentially deadly consequence, in this case, of Daraprim. You know, if you need this, I'm reading one thing that says you take it for 6 weeks, two pills a day. Okay, so that's going to be
a lot.
Yeah, do the math. $63,000 total treatment cost. Okay, for longer term patients such as sufferers from HIV, the annual cost can be as high as $634,000. Okay. there's nothing about the free market in there. But, you know, and here's a question. Let's just say we're peering into an alternative universe where there is an actual free market for medicine and healthcare and drugs and whatnot. Okay. How would you determine the price of a drug? How do we know that $13.50 per pill is reasonable, but $7.50 is unreasonable, right? Like what would determine the price of the drug?
Well, normally when it comes to pricing of things, you have to look at what the cost is. So if the cost of manufacture is more than $7.50, it means that the company's going to lose money and it will go belly up eventually. Now, as far as covering the cost of developing the drug and all these other things, you're looking at having to have some sort of markup on there. And most people believe that if you have any type of profit, which generally goes back into research and development for improvements or other drugs, you know, that profit is evil. But going back to the whole thing about the pricing and the people that are using the stuff not paying for it, when something is free or mostly free, people will demand more of it. When I go to the farmer's market and I go over and I see the local farmer that has grass-fed beef and free-range chicken and all this other stuff, I am restricted by what is in my pocket on how much I can spend. Therefore, I have to use my money wisely. I have to economize my limited resources. Now, if I was given a credit card and told, hey, go on over, get as much as you want. Don't worry about it. You don't have to pay for it. You just pay your, $50 a month in food insurance, and you can go over there and grab as much as you want. Well, of course, I'm gonna fill up my brand new 5-cubic-foot deep freezer. I'm gonna go buy another deep freezer because hey, I'm not paying for it. Why should I?
Hey, why not? Single payer food, right?
Yeah.
Thank God we don't have that. Jesus.
Yeah. And that would go fine with single payer military and police, but I digress. So now one other thing on here, and we've got about a minute left in this segment. This is what's called an orphan drug, and Wikipedia defines it. An orphan drug is a pharmaceutical agent that has been developed specifically to treat a rare medical condition. The condition itself being referred to as an orphan disease. And what this comes with is, one, you have the grants of exclusivity and protectionism of regular patents, but for certain medications, you get additional exclusivity. So normally, if you look at the idea that if something is profitable, that's going to draw people into that market, because there is exclusivity to these medications, you're not allowed to have competition. So you're not allowed to have other producers going out there and making these medications.
We need like a dark web website that where people could sell these things and just flaunt the law.
Yes.
Maybe call it the Silk Road or something like that. If there was somebody that could build that, that'd be cool. Maybe sell stuff for Bitcoin.
Or the Dallas Buyers Club. More Freedom Fiends coming up right after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Relax your statism away with a freedom wedgie.
So, yeah, Dallas Buyers Club. You haven't seen that, have you, Jim?
No, tell me about that. What is that?
Okay. Dallas Buyers Club is a movie that came out a few years ago, and I haven't seen it since it came to like Netflix or Amazon Prime or something like that. Anyway, a friend of mine, I watched it over at her house for one of our movie nights, and it's very relevant to this particular situation. Matthew McConaughey is in it, and he does a heck of a job in playing that role. And he was like down to like 100 and some pounds, you know, and just scrawny, wasting away to nothing. But anyway, so it takes place back in probably the late 70s, early 80s, and he gets infected with HIV. And at the time, you know, nobody knows what's going on with it, and everything's just experimental. So he tries to get into experimental treatments, and I think he got into one, and he wound up in the placebo group. So nothing was happening with that. But anyway, he winds up just doing all these different things and going through the regulatory nightmare of trying to get medical care for his condition. And nothing seems to work. So he does what any good American does, or any good human being. He disregards government. Yeah, he disregards government and takes matters into his own hands. He winds up just searching all over the place for different types of treatments, going to Mexico. And what he does is he winds up bringing this stuff back for other AIDS patients. And
nice.
Yeah. So, and he's importing this stuff from Mexico, Thailand, and just all over the world. And the FDA keeps trying to shut him down at every turn. So he keeps, you know, just doing all these different new innovations to avoid you know, the regulatory nightmare, and he stays one step ahead of the FDA through most of the movie. They shut him down on one thing, and then he comes back with another. And he's not allowed to sell pharmaceuticals. So what he does is he creates this thing called the Dallas Buyers Club, to where you can you sign up and you pay a certain amount each month, and you can purchase your medications. But you're not actually buying medications, you're buying membership in the club. Up here in Michigan, there's a rule that says that you're not allowed to sell fish spawn, fish eggs. You know, you can't just, you know, go and sell it. So,
no, of course not.
Yeah, so if you're over on the pier over in Grand Marais for whitefish and you want to use, and you don't have parboiled salmon eggs that have been treated, you can go over to this one guy and he'll sell you a hook, and he will throw in a complimentary amount of spawn to go with it. So you can't buy the spawn, but you can buy a hook, and it comes with a complimentary amount of spawn.
Yeah. Say that, you know, I love the entrepreneurial spirit that works around damage. You know, that's really what it is. We have the state is the damaged part of the system, but it's resilient enough to route around the damage, you know? So.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the history of humans since the invention or imposition of government, the history of humans has been getting around government rules and everything else. I mean, the history is fighting the nonsense.
Now, I thought technological progress is made by people trying to share porn. I you think it's also trying to escape government, or maybe the two together is responsible for all technological innovation?
Well, probably the ability to share porn aids in escaping government. Because if you look at the internet, one of the first things that popped up on there was porn. If you look at photography, the invention of still pictures, first things that popped up, porn.
Same. Did you see what? Oh, you should have seen what Gutenberg was printing. Whoa! that was some twisted stuff, man.
Yeah. So, yeah,
he was hardcore. Most people don't know how hardcore Gutenberg was.
Yeah. So anyway, there's an article here in CNN Money, and it this talks about let's see what it's titled. Okay, yeah, hated CEO lowering price of $750 AIDS drug Daraprim. So anyway, it says, yeah, pharmaceutical company Turing increased the price of a drug called Daraprim from $1,350 to $750 a pill, and its CEO Martin Shkreli quickly became the focus of public anger. The 4,000% increase also caught the eye of Hillary Clinton, blah, blah, blah. The Daily Beast declared Ciccarelli the most hated man in America, surpassing the dentist who killed Cecil the Lion.
Oh,
by the way, Cecil's mane is on Trump's head. More Freedom Fiends after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you tired of governments murdering people around the world? Stop using their money. There is an alternative. Bitcoin is a stateless free market non-political currency. Bitcoin cannot be inflated or controlled by any government. By using their money, you are helping the state. Stop doing it. You have an incredible alternative available now. Learn it, use it, spread it. Get started with Bitcoin at bitcoin.com. That's bitcoin.com.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squigelps from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons. And you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch, now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends. Now also without fish burps.
Without what?
Fish burps.
Do tell.
Never mind.
I'm thinking of the burpless fish oil supplements. Because right. Some are not.
Exactly.
Some are not burpless.
Right. We are also burpless. And I just think people need to realize that. It's an added feature of the Freedom Fiends.
Oh, well, that's awful nice of us.
Yeah.
We're pretty awesome for that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, going back to the story from CNN here, it says that he's going to reduce the price. Now, one thing I do want to put out, I'm not defending this guy for doing this big giant price jack up. I think it's a little bit out of line. It was being sold for $13.50 a pill before. To jack it up to $7.50 sounds a little bit crazy to me.
It's just a little bit drastic, but let's be honest. With this ridiculous, convoluted, non-free market system, we don't know what the price for this drug should be. And I can't even say what it should be. We have no way to say, because the only way to tell what the price of this drug should be would be a competitive marketplace where consumers have choices and they can buy alternatives. Someone else can be like, wow, he's charging $7.50. I can make that even better and I can charge $1.50. And somebody else can say, well, you know what? I've got another cure that I just came up with. You don't even need that drug. Here's something better for $19.99. You know, like, that's how a competitive marketplace works. So we can't say, well, $7.50 is the wrong price. We can't say $13.50 is the wrong price. We can't say, we have no frame of reference to even comment on that.
Yeah. Where was I going to go with this?
You're not defending him, and I'm not defending him either, because he's the kind of guy that says, hey, I'd like to make money by purchasing a monopoly from the government, okay? I'm sorry, but that makes you a jerk.
Yeah, pretty much. So on here says, all right, he says, all right, we agreed to lower the price of Daraprim to a price that is more affordable, he told ABC World News Tonight. He didn't say what that affordable price would be, but stressed that the company already gives away the drug for free to about half the patients who use it, and that Turing plans to expand its charitable drug program. I was an insurance agent for a number of years, and I went into the industry right about the time that the Medicare Part D, the prescription drug program, was going on. And I saw what a lot of seniors were going through with their medications. Now, the number of people that I spoke to that were on the assistance programs from the drug companies or were getting samples that the drug companies provide to doctors was pretty darn high. Now, yeah. something that was really interesting was Walmart came out with the, oh gosh, what was it? The $4 generic, I think it was, something like that. Anyway, they had a list of a bunch of medications, and they were quite common generics, and the price was dropped down to like doodly squat. But as a little comparison, I was purchasing one of my medications at another pharmacy, and I was paying $150, I think it was, for a 90-day supply. And I checked with Sam's Club, and I said, hey, how much does this prescription go for? And they're like, oh, that's $50. So it was one-third of the price by going from one pharmacy to another, by shopping around.
Right, but now, you know what? When your insurance covers it, who even bothers to check what they're charging, right? Like, it doesn't even matter. You're like, well, you just go to the pharmacy that's closest to your house, and nobody cares.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I didn't have insurance anymore, so I had to pay for it myself. Therefore, I became a lot more conscious about the cost. Because, like we said before, when something's free or mostly free, people demand more of it, and they don't care about the pricing.
That highlights how screwed up the market is for healthcare. I went to one of these places. I used to have a really nice insurance policy that was perfect for our family, high deductible, never used it unless it was just there in case of emergency. It was canceled because it was not compliant with the Affordable Care Act because it was too affordable, and it was canceled. So,
thanks, Obama.
Yeah, thanks for that. So we had at the time we had no insurance at all. I was just so frustrated, and so I went to one of these urgent care centers. Okay, I had some minor thing I needed, treatment for, and so I'm like, well, it's this new thing. I'm like, oh, let's go try that. So I'm filling out the new patient paperwork, and then here's this thing where you sign that says you agree to pay whatever they charge you. Okay. I'm like, okay, well, can I see the rate card? And I get this blank look. What do you mean rate card? Well, it says here that I'm signing this and I'm going to agree to pay you. How do I know how much the services are in advance? Oh, well, we don't tell you that. Like, it was just, not only did they not have an answer, they looked at me like I was crazy for even asking a question, how much? I mean. Mm-hmm.
Well, the Surgical Center of Oklahoma has their pricing listed. I think it's on their website. And if you call up and say, hey, I need this procedure done, how much is it? They'll tell you how much it is. But they also don't deal with insurance companies. They don't deal with. I can't say that they've cut government out, but they've managed to evade a lot of the government nonsense. And, nice. And they're legally not participating, but they're plain and simple. They offer a service. This is what they charge, and the cost is a fraction of what it would be dealing with, the insurance companies and everything else. Doctors' offices today have as many people in the billing department as they have actual providers. They have more people in there.
Yeah.
But going back to Walmart, so I was really happy about cutting my prescription costs from $150 down to $50. Matter of fact, I think it was a month, not 90 days. So anyway, Walmart comes out with the $4 drug list, and now my medication is down to $12.
That's more greedy capitalists, right?
Yeah.
Well, now, yeah, did Occupy Democrats freak out about that radical change in drug pricing?
I don't think
by evil capitalists called Walmart, and I'm sure that's just trying to exploit people, right? Just trying to lure people in with these inexpensive drugs, and then I don't know. I'm sure they find some way to say that's some kind of exploitation or something.
Yeah, well, this was many years ago, so Facebook didn't exist. So,
okay.
Matter of fact, the Occupy movement hadn't even started. Here's one for you. Three people are in court at the FTC court, and they're all charged with three different things. One guy is charged with price gouging because he's charging more than everybody else. Another person is charging way more than or way less than everybody else, and he's charged with predatory pricing. And then one person is charged with charging the same amount as everybody else, and he's charged with collusion. You have this government nonsense of saying, well, this should be charged, you know, wage and price controls and price fixing and all this other stuff. We need to impose all this. And they have absolutely no idea of what the price should be. I mean, heck, we can't even tell what the price should be on this. But, you know, as the Freedom Fiends always say, in a truly free market, every drug would be 7 cents a dose.
Maybe. I don't. How could you say that? No, it would be 7 satoshis a dose.
Yeah, well, and that's just a guess on our part.
Yeah.
So, right. If you look at the high price in the illegal drug market, I mean, that's just absolutely ridiculous. I haven't smoked weed since the 80s, but to hear what stuff is going for now compared to way back when, I mean, that's just absolutely ridiculous. I don't know.
Yeah, if you thought it was expensive on the black market, you should see how expensive it is now that it's legal.
Oh, yeah.
And regulated.
a guy that I went to high school with just moved back to the Detroit area from Colorado. Well, he's been back, I don't know, maybe close to a year, something like that. But anyway, he was telling me, he says, yeah, once it became legalized and everything else, people were still going and buying from the illegal drug dealers, but the price dropped quite a bit. So I guess there's like some sort of tax stamp that comes on your weed, kind of like they put on cigarette packs. People are just using the packages with the tax stamp on it over and over and over again.
Nice. Yeah.
So by legalizing it, they made the illegal stuff cheaper. So thanks, government.
Now all we need is that toxoplasmosis drug to work its way into the black market, which it I'm sure it already is. So let's do your magic, black market. Get it to people that need it.
Well, what they need to do is they need to ban it, and then they need to legalize it, tax it, and regulate it.
That'll work.
And then the CIA can smuggle it in. So, do you have anything else that you want to cover on this story?
I don't know. I think we beat it to death pretty hard, but it's hard to know like who's being the most ridiculous. The guy that's doing it, the people that are mad about it. I hate the reactions almost as much as I hate what the guy did. When everybody's like, well, you know, this is now we need more regulation. You know, like, now we need to apply the, Karl Marx's labor theory of value to determine what that drug should actually be charged. Let's take a look at all drug manufacturers manufacturing and we'll have a central planner decide what all the prices should be. Like, it's so horrifying to just hear them blabber on about this stuff.
Hey, if they apply the labor theory of value, it might go up to $1,500 a pill.
Who knows?
Okay, so I just want to summarize. Here we have a medication that was in generic, and by being generic, anybody should be able to make it. But because of exclusivity through patents, and then also the orphan drug patent, and additional exclusivity, eliminating competition, we have an artificially high-priced medication. Because there's no competition, this snapperhead can raise the price from $1,350 up to $13.50 up to $750 a pill without any repercussions. And because there's no way for anybody else to make it and compete with it, everybody else is just SOL. And everybody's freaking out. Yeah, the guy's fueled by vinegar and water, but the government control of the market created this situation.
Worms!
listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
For the final segment, redemption in the third act.
Give me some good news, Jim. Tell me something that I really want to hear.
Yeah, we need to wrap up with something that's like super positive. And I this one story came across, I think really fits that. It was from there's a really great website for people that don't know. It's called Photography is Not a Crime. Okay, run by Carlos Miller, who is a police accountability expert. Anyway, the headline is just enough to get you excited right away. Arkansas police chief resigns. Always a good day when somebody decides to stop being a criminal, in this case as police chief. But he resigns as open carry battle heats up. So this is in Bald Knob, Arkansas. So evidently this guy had been waging a war, his own personal battle against people that open carry, people that just, you know, want to have a firearm and a holster and it's visible. And this guy was basically just like went out and was just like arresting people, just, you know, just said, ah, the hell with the law. I'm just going to arrest it because I don't like it. And there is part of the code that says, that really doesn't apply, but he was using it anyway. It just says a person commits the offense of carrying a weapon if he or she possesses a handgun, knife, or club on or about his or her person or in a vehicle occupied by him or otherwise readily available, blah, 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 with a purpose to attempt to unlawfully employ a handgun, knife, or something, anyway, against a person. So he uses this thing. He's been arresting people for filming. So this big stink comes up, okay? And he's sort of under siege from criticism, which is always a good thing for police. And so he finally had enough, and he resigned. And he said because somebody spray-painted Second Amendment on his pickup truck. Okay?
Oh, you mean that thing that says, shall not be infringed?
Yeah, okay. So somebody wanted to reference that. Now, that would be funny enough as it is, okay? But evidently, a lot of people think that this is a faked incident, okay? That he just faked it himself to give an excuse for resigning in shame and humiliation. He says he fears for his family.
Okay. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Doesn't it say in Article 6 of the Magic Parchment that the magic parchment is the supreme law of the land, and with the Second Amendment being a part of that magic parchment, so one shall not be infringed, be the law of the land. So I guess my question is, if he is arresting people for open carrying, or if he's even bothering anybody in any way, shape, or form regarding their, you know, right to keep and bear arms, by including, you know, requiring permits and all this other stuff, doesn't that mean that he's a lawbreaker?
Well, right, and he's now resigned, so I think we can all celebrate that, right?
Well, you know? shouldn't he be arrested and dealt with severely if he resists?
You know, I'll settle with just getting his, you know, put him out of a job and vandalize his truck. We'll call it even. Well, what he really should be doing is he should be making restitution to his victims. That would be actual justice, right? You know. But
how is anybody in Arkansas anti-gun? I mean, seriously, that's like being anti-gun up here in Bear, Saskatchewan.
You know, I don't know, but I mean, that is the state that elected Bill Clinton as governor, so anything's possible, right? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a former French colony.
That explains it.
Yeah. You know, this story kind of reminds me of another story. Speaking of like self-vandalizing your truck, the story of the Texas guy who was he was really all grumpy about the Black Lives Matter movement. And he's really into, you know, supporting his police. So he vandalized his own truck and spray painted Black Lives Matter on it and then reported it. And then he raised $6,000 from other police sympathizers. And then those police whose boots this guy likes to lick, they arrested him for falsifying the vandalism and making these false claims. So more good news. Another criminal taken down.
Yeah. When it comes to government, no lives matter. Well, thank you everybody for listening, and for more Freedom Fiends, go to freedomfiends.com, and I will be on a secret fiend mission this weekend, and hopefully I'll report back soon.